Good morning, church. Okay, energy is good. This is just to check, you know. Not good, then we do it again. All right. Except for the newcomers, our visitors, our guests in the church, I want everyone to look around you and see someone that you have not chit-chat for some time. Just turn around, look. See anyone there you haven't chit-chat, you haven't seen for some time. It's okay to wave to them, you know. Okay, this one family is a growing family. So sometimes we need to take effort to notice who are the people that we have not connected with for some time. And after service, go chit-chat with them. You know, in our church got a pair of twins, right? They really look alike. Okay, those who don't know, you know. Just now I saw one of a twin. I'm like, one of a twin. She's actually from, she's studying in Japan, so I saw her. I thought, oh, this is Megumi. Then I looked carefully. No, doesn't feel like it. It's another sister, it's Sakane. So Sakane, hi, welcome back. For the rest of you, get to know one another. This is why I say, as a church, we continue to grow. We have new people here, and it is time to get to know one another. All right? You guys really look alike. Okay, make sure one long hair, one short hair, or always wear different color shirt to church. Attention. All right, this morning I'm going to share with you, I'm going to do a word study on this keyword. I'm going to share with you what I've actually discovered, and it has helped me look at ministry in a very different light. As we do that, let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning, that even as we come together as a church, as your people of God, we are reminded once more that you're not done with us, and we are always work in progress. We pray to you right now, God, that this morning, let your word shape us, oh God, shape our thoughts, shape our hearts, so that everything that we do, oh God, we'll do it to honor you, oh God, we do it in your likeness. We'll watch what you're doing in our lives, and we'll work with you, oh God, and we pray. You continue to change us, transform us, and you move us forward for your kingdom. We commit each and every one of us into your hands. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, the title of my sermon this morning is the word diakonia. Diakonia is a Greek word. We're going to quickly go into this and we take a look. Now, for all of us who has the Bible with us, turn to the book of Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to verse 7. We want to read it in context. Okay, remember the Bible. If you want to know what a passage means, you must always read it in context. Okay, context determines meaning. Now, let me read to you chapter 6, verse 1 to verse 7. If you normally, most of you have NIV, I'm going to read from ESV for word study purpose. You just follow with me. Acts chapter 6, the word of God records. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in numbers, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribute. And the 12, I mean the apostles, summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching of the word to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Verse 5 to 6 is the list of people they've selected. Verse 7, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Verse 7 is a beautiful picture where people do ministry. It begins to grow, and ministry draws people to God, and that is verse 7. But our key verse that we want to look to actually is verse 2 to verse 4, and we want to do a word study over there. Now, oftentimes when we read this passage, verse 1 to verse 7, when we read this passage, we tend to give priority towards the ministry of the word over, if you use NIV, it says, waiting on tables. ESV, serve the tables. If you read it, we tend to give priority over the ministry of the word over other ministry. In this context, it's a ministry of distribution of food, community works. And we feel that it's not balanced. This is why some of us, we have this mindset. Pastors preach. The rest of us, we do something else. It's like, wow, only pastor can preach. Or then in your cell group, then someone say, next week, can you share the word? And then you guys will say, oh, no, I cannot share. I'm not a pastor. Only pastor share the word. Have you heard that before, sometimes in cell group and all that? We tend to feel that preaching the word is an honored work that's reserved for a group of people. And then we, the line, in Malaysia we know what the line, the others, we do the other menial jobs. Preaching, high. Other ministry, low. We don't say it, but we tend to have that feeling. We honored one ministry over the other. And over here, if you read NIV version, it doesn't help because it translates. NIV version translates so that it's easier for us to read, to understand. But it doesn't help when we do a word study. It says, wait on tables. Preaching the word. Sound holier, right? Preaching the word. Wait on tables. No power one. No. Preaching the word. Wait on tables. Like, is it Hakka Behyong? What language is that? Okay? Like, no power, no kick. But if you read ESV, it helps a bit when you use the word ministry and serving. They are from the same word. Later, I'll go on with that. Now, when you look at this passage, like I say, context determines meaning. Always read the scripture in context, then you understand. Over here, when you read, the background story is not like that. The story here is that the apostles feel this. Both are equally important in the kingdom of God because both are of God and for God. Both are equally important. Therefore, neither should be neglected. If one is not important, do you think the apostles, we want to spend time doing those things? If something is not important, do you do it or not? Hey, church, come, let's preach with me. Okay? Okay, let's practice this. When I say laugh, you just ha, ha, ha. Okay? Let's do this. Okay? Now I'm frightening the Methodist. What kind of church is this? This I also don't know what kind. The church is okay. Just this one, double to repeat. When I say laugh, everyone practice your laugh. Okay? 1, 2, 3, laugh. Awesome. Okay? Good, huh? Okay, laugh with me, okay? Okay, now can stop a bit. You continue, it's really double to. All right. Over here, the apostle feel that this is important. If the apostle really feel that this work is not important, will they appoint 7 people to do it? No. Might as well wait. Jesus, you know, give us this commandment, reach out to people. No. Why want to waste 7 men over there? Might as well come, empower the 7, preach the word. Why want to waste time? And did they like, distribute food, do some work. No, just simply pick some men, you know, simply ask them to do. You know, because preaching the word is of God. This one, distribute food, not anyone do. Did the apostle do that? Did the apostle do that? No. What did the apostle do? You look at scripture, in context, it says, the apostle gathered, they talk among themselves. You know what? Both are important. But because we are the apostles, we are the first group of people that hear Jesus. We heard what Jesus taught. And because we know what Jesus taught, we can teach what Jesus taught. You get the idea? I hear from Jesus. Now I pass down what Jesus taught me. I pass it down. So I teach others. Therefore, we must give. We must devote ourselves to the study of the word and to prayer to make sure we are guarded. Now, this work is so important. You know what? We're going to select 7 men. We're going to spend time, select 7 leaders. What did the Bible say? Read the word. The Bible says 7 men who got good reputation. Favor of God, favor of man. Someone have good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. 7 good men, strong, mature Christian. Select them, lay hands on them, pray, and empower them to do the work of ministry because both are equally important. God has called me to do this. Therefore, it's not right for me to neglect my ministry, the apostle says. And the apostle says, you know what? You guys help us do this part because it is important. Neither should be neglected. That is the point. Both are important. The apostles focus one part and the rest of the servants, the leaders focus another part. They are the sides, different sides of the same coin. Both are equally important. Different sides, but of the same coin. I play with the word ministry of the word and the ministry of the work. Both one and the same. Same importance. This is why the apostles spend so much time and effort building this team and says, you go do this. And remember, when both ministry begin to work together and prosper, what happened? Look at verse 7. If you go verse 7, you look into the Bible, what happened? The Bible says, many people, Many people come to know Christ. The numbers of believers increase. Why? Because there's the preaching of the word that demonstrates the power of God in people's life, and there's the ministry of the word that demonstrates the power of God in people's life. When both of these is functioning well in a church, as a church, when we do this together, then the Bible says, because the power of God is demonstrated, people come to know Christ. Amen? And sometimes the strange things about us, we lift up one, we put down the other. And I hope after we do this word study, we won't do so. All right? Now, if you ask me this question, how did I come to this conclusion? Pastors cannot simply talk one. True? We are not here to preach my message. I'm here to preach God's word. I don't get to decide what the Bible says. The Bible says what the Bible says. I'm here to deliver the word. Okay? How did I come to this conclusion? You look at the context, see what the Bible really says. Now, I want to introduce this word to you, diakonia. NIV uses the word ministry to refer to the activity of a preaching and the teaching of the word. And then he used the word wait on tables to refer to serving the needs of people. In this context, once again, in this context, it's a distribution of food. Okay, like community work, they were doing this. So they used this word as ministry and wait on tables. But ESV, I like the ESV version because it's more accurate in this sense that it translates the word, rather than wait on tables, as serve tables. You use the word serve, serve. ESV translates the original Greek word diakonia, okay, in verse 2 and verse 4, if you look at it. ESV translates the original Greek word diakonia to ministry and to serve. Ministry and serving. Serving and ministry. They are one and the same in the Greek word, diakonia. Diakonia is, this word is used 32 times in New Testament and is translated as ministry, service, amongst other words. But it means the same. In Luke chapter 10, when Martha prepared the meal for Jesus, bread of food, he used the word diakonia. And over here, Acts chapter 6, verse 1, verse 4, in regards to serving of food, he used the word diakonia. In terms of preaching of the word, he used the word diakonia. In Acts chapter 11, diakonia refers to the work of helping people who are poor during the famine, there's a famine relief, and to distribute money among them. The word is used there, diakonia. In Acts chapter 20 and 21, you will study, Paul uses the word diakonia to refer to his ministry among the Gentiles. Last but not least, Romans chapter 12, it refers to the spiritual gift. The gift of serving is the gift of diakonia. The word diakonia here is used not just as the preaching of the word, the ministry of the word, but also the ministry of the work. When you do work, good works, to meet the needs of others, where you do good works, and through these good works, God demonstrates his power to change life, that is diakonia. The preaching of the word and the ministry of the work, these two, they hold the same power. We should respect both, honor both, and do both. One is not higher than the other. It's both. All right? And sometimes I feel it's very strange, you know, when Jesus begin to do works. For example, when Jesus begin to do healing, when he do healing and he begin to, heal people and ask people to raise up from the dead, we emphasize on all this miracle. Why? Because all these miracles are the power of God. When I mention power of God, what do you think? Signs and wonders, miracles, correct? Nothing wrong with that. That is also one way God actually demonstrates his power through signs and wonders. And it should actually accompany the preaching of the word. It comes along. But a lot of people focus on this part. We just want power of God. Power of God is shown you where? Miracles, signs, and wonders. But when Jesus go out, he sit with sinners, chit-chat with them, and transform life. We don't see that as power of God. Why? Strange, right? Everyone want this one. You know what? Let's do a healing ministry. And by the way, it's nothing wrong and it's good. It has a place in the kingdom of God. It has a time for it as well. But my point is this. We focus so much on this. Why do we want to do, wow, we rah-rah here and here we tone down? It's as though we give one emphasis over the other. And sometimes this is what I feel. When we demonstrate the power of God through healings and miracles and all this. Why? Because it looks good. It's visual. You can see. When someone gets healed, especially it's immediate, wow, that's the power of God. Here, serving people, it takes slower. It's a journey. It's not so rare. Mic test, okay. Is that a signal for me to? Let me continue. All right. Here has a lot of power, and here sometimes we tone down. And we give emphasis on that, and we don't give the same emphasis here. It's as though we are saying, this is the power of God. Here, not the power of God. Preaching, teaching the word, powerful. Doing distribution of food to help the poor, to help widows, care for those who are poor, the orphans, care for them. This one, not power of God. Sometimes we don't say it, but why does it feel as though it's like that? I feel the power of God is given to us, not that we look good here. Power of God. The power of God is given to us not so that we can look good. The power of God is given to us so that we can do good, that people will know that God is good. Amen? Both power of God, the diakonia of the word, the ministry of the word, and the diakonia of the work, the ministry of the word, do good works. Both of these is one and the same, I feel. At least it's come from the same root word, diakonia. Ministry, serve the needs of people. Perhaps you can say, one meets the spiritual needs of the church. This is what the pastors should do. And really, we need help here. Sometimes people want the pastors to do everything. Every department also the pastors do. Not that we are not willing. I'm going to introduce a new word to you. When pastors do everything, get involved in everything, okay? And the new word is called dialo. Cannot. I love it when one day I was chit-chatting with Auntie Abby. She actually, on her own accord, she goes and visit people. One day she actually chit-chat with me, we were talking about ministry. Then she said this, which I love it. She said, if everyone want to wait for the pastors to visit, die liao lo, people. I'm like, yes. If I take turns, in church, let's say give discount, then some people pointing, okay? Give discount a bit. Agape, let's say there's 500 people. If I take one day to visit one person and spend quality time, okay? Do you know that it needs to take me almost 1.5 years to 2 years to reach the first person again? You get what I'm trying to say? It doesn't work. Doesn't work. That's why a group of people do one thing, another group of people can do another. I feel the pastor's job is to minister to people's spiritual need. We are here to tend, to care for people's spiritual need, the needs, spiritual needs of the church. The preaching of the word, the prayer, we spend time with people. Yes, we also care and do all those things, but our main thing that we cannot neglect, that's what apostles said, these things are good, but not to the point where we neglect preaching of the word and prayer. We cannot neglect this part because this is our calling. The pastor's job is to minister to the spiritual needs of the church. And everyone else, I call it the bigger team, okay, the strong team is here to minister to the physical needs of the church. Everyone has needs. If it's not us, it's those outside of the church. We are here. God has placed us here. We are blessed to be a blessing. It's not about us. It's always about Jesus. It's always about people. It's not us. Amen? Okay, I hope I make that clear enough to you. And there's another word that corresponds to the word diakonia. Okay, just to let you know, I find this very interesting. Another noun that corresponds to the word diakonia is diakonos, which basically means servant or the one who serve. And this is the term, diakonios is the term where the English actually took this term and they call it deacon. Deacon simply means this, diakonos, the one who serve. That's all. The one that serve the physical needs of the church. So if the apostles minister to the spiritual needs of the church, the deacons, the seven leaders that they chose, or in English term, we use the word deacons, serve and look and care for the physical needs of people. Amen? Deacon, some people say, oh no, I'm not a deacon. No, deacon basically means the one who serve. If you are serving, you're a deacon. Maybe not in today's term, the way we use it, but in the Greek word, diakonos, you're a diakonos, you're a deacon, the one who serve. Tell the person next to you, you are a deacon. Simply means to serve. Apostles, pastors, and all those people who hold those office, and another group of people, they work together to serve the same God for the same kingdom. Same message, same spirit, same. And if you ask, when we do diakonia, Okay, when we do diaconomy, ministry of the word and the ministry of the world, when we do this, what is the result? When we begin to do this, I told you, both are the power of God. And by the power of God, it will bring salvation to people. This is in the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And I love this. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Why are we not ashamed of the gospel? It makes it very clear. Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. I'm not ashamed to preach the gospel. Why? It brings salvation into people's life. I'm not ashamed to walk the street, to help people, to take care of someone's need. Why? Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to people. Amen. Both power of God. You want power here? Pray that God give you power here as well. To walk, to do life with people. Just as Jesus did. Jesus walked with people. He walked with people. And this is what we are called to do as a church. And Agape has been doing that. The ultimate reason of why we do what we do in all these things, diaconia of the word, diaconia of the work, we do all these things, yes, is to show the power of God. But why do we show the power of God? At the end of the day, what is the heartbeat? What is the mission of the church? It's very clear. For every Christian, the church is not the building, the church is the people, the Christian, the safe ones. All of us come together, we are the church. Why do we exist as a church, as a group? What's the heartbeat of it? Very simple, the great commandment and the great commission. These two is very clear. And you look at that in the words, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. In shorter term, love God, love people. That's a great commandment. The great commission is this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. And I want to pause there. Before we read on and focusing on baptizing people and discipling them, teaching them the word, look at verse 18. It did not just start in verse 19. Look at verse 18. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." He's saying, I'm the most powerful one. I'm the highest in authority. All authority has been given to me. By this all-powerful authority, I'm assigning you to go. With that power, go, carrying the power, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. This great commission was given to the apostles, to the disciples, and therefore all of us, so on. As long as we are believers of Christ, this is also our call, the great commission. And then he says here, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of age." If any one of you feel in your life you're very down and you're not sure whether God is with you, you look into this Bible, it says, as long as you go and continue to make disciples, you continue to reach out to someone, as long as you continue to do that, the Bible says, "And surely I will be with you always." If you're serving in ministry and you feel lonely and burned out, it's okay to rest. But never, never doubt that Jesus is with you. Amen. You're doing ministry, you're going all out there. If you feel down sometimes, just remember, Jesus is with you. Continue to do the work. Jesus will be with you. Amen. Now, with all these things said, now that we know the diaconia of the word and diaconia of the work, both are equally important and both exemplify the power of God to bring salvation to people, this is why we do what we do as a church. And I want to test, the first service I test. Okay, now the second service. Are you guys ready? Okay, pop quiz. In September, what month is it? Okay, maybe I ask it properly. The way I ask also like got problem a bit. In Agape, what are we launching in September? Yes, yes, we are launching Agape Community Month. We're going to use the whole 1 month to launch various, to highlight the ministry that we are doing, and also to launch this other diaconia work, the work that we have been doing. Now, I remember last year, we have this community care initiative. It lasted for 3 months. Okay, I don't know why the church told gung-ho, because when we plan now, we all, yes, they're halfway. Who planned one? Because a lot of work, but it's good. It's good. It's hard work. 3 months of focusing on, as a church, we want to bless people. We want to go out there and be a blessing to people. And I remember Pastor Lawrence came to preach, Pastor Lawrence Yap, and he asked this question, What difference does the church make? It's a real question. What difference does the church make? Will our church be missed by the community if it no longer exists one day? If Agape today, suddenly we disappeared, boosh, maybe we raptured. Okay? And the community say, oh really, I raptured? When? Last month? No difference one? Walao eh, I think we need to... Cannot. God plants us here so that He uses us as His force, as His channel to bring salvation to everyone else. Amen? God used the church. And these are the few quotes that we have, and I think I want to quote it again. All right? It says here, Agape is not just a church in the community, but a church for the community. The church are both at the same time the community of the redeemed and the redeeming community. The flip side of the coin of the Great Commandment and of the Great Commission is to love God and love people. If you find what, why Pastor Joshua is suddenly so changi, your English all correct one, that's because it's not for me. All the changi word confirmed not for me. If you have not gotten the bulletin, please read the bulletin. All those words is Pastor Ben's word. I just copy and say it. It's all here. All our program, what are we going to do as a church in our community month, is all here. The dates, what are some of the programs, and our senior pastor's message. Read it, so understand it. And we want to go as a force, as one church. We want to do it together. Now, what is the vision of the church? What is the vision of the church? Can anyone remember? You want me to give you a tips? What is the vision of a church? A church that's filled and filled with God's amazing love, whereby lives and communities are transformed and empowered by the gospel of Christ. That is our vision. We want to be a church that's like that. If you cannot remember, Pastor, so many words, and keep short, what is our motto? Reaching people, changing lives. This is what we do as a church. We want to continue to do this. Therefore, with this idea and spirit behind us, we are going to launch several things in church, and I want you to pay full attention to this. Now, every Sunday after this, every Sunday we're going to highlight one ministry, the ministry that the church has been doing. Sunday ministry highlights. We're going to highlight our drop-in center, which is in town. We have been running the drop-in center for more than 10 years, where we minister to the homeless and we run services there. And many people has come to know Christ through this drop-in center. We also have food bank, where we actually pack and we distribute food and people come and collect. We have been supporting 30 over families so far, regardless of race. Really, regardless of race, we support them by giving them monthly food supply. We have another team, it's called the Hospital Visitation Team. They actually walk the corridors of Seremban GH just to see that the people who are sick, if they're open, we will pray for them and share the love of God to them. That's the Hospital Visitation. And this year, we started our Learning Center, a tuition center. They actually give free tuition to the poor kids, those who cannot afford tuition. We want to give them a fighting chance. They deserve to be loved and they deserve education too. Amen? Money should not stop them. And this is why we want to extend God's love in a very practical way. We started this learning center is in Temyang. Last but not least, we're going to emphasize also on missions. What are the mission work that the church has been involved in, whether we go or we support the ministry? So every Sunday, I advise you, do come and take note of all the ministry highlights. And Wednesday, we have a different prayer focus. Remember, this coming Wednesday, there's no prayer meeting because all of us are coming on Friday for our Seremban Combined Churches prayer rally. Amen? Take note, if Friday you come alone, good, you pray alone. All right? Oh, Wednesday, thank you. Checking only whether you pay attention or not. Hey, paise only. At least you pay attention. Good. Okay. Wednesday, no prayer meeting. Friday. All right. Okay, do come for our... after that is our Wednesday. We have a different prayer focus. On every Wednesday, we pray for the different needs of our community. And we just pray that God will continue to work. So that's Wednesday. And Friday in cell group, we will actually, as you do and you discuss together as a cell, there's a cell group action plan. We will tell you that we will suggest as a cell, what can you do to be part of this community project? Whether to supply 1 month's food supply or few months' food supply to the food bank, or actually volunteer to serve in the learning center, or you want to visit a home, or things like that. What can you do as a cell? you discuss together and then put it into action. Amen. So these are the things that are happening for the whole month of September. And we're also doing two more things. Every Sunday at our courtyard, you will see there's two boards. One is our exhibition booth. Our exhibition booth will highlight all our outreach ministry, the needs, okay, in terms of what can you contribute, or also the volunteer. You can actually volunteer if you want to and explore. These are the things that the church is doing and how can you be the part of it. Exhibition booth, do visit it. And the other one is the community board. This is something new and it's more like an experiment. We want to see how it works. A community board is something like this. Church members, all of you, church members can post their needs and also their resources. I mean resources in terms of what can you donate, what can you offer, it can be a service, it can be a help, or what can you sell but not for profit or business purposes. What some things are good, but you don't want to give it out, you want to sell it at a very low price just to bless someone. All these things, because there's a lot of us, remember, how do I say this in English? They say that one man's trash is another man's treasure. Something that you have extra, rather than throw it, something that you have extra, if you give it to someone, you'll fulfill a particular need. Amen? And God has placed all of us here, all of us have different needs and different resources. And through the community board, when you write all those things there, you can match the needs and the resources that we have together as a family of God. Now, one example is this. If you have a room to let, or a house to let, you want someone to rent, you open, and you think, hey, you want to just put it up there. Perhaps someone else is looking for a room or a house to rent. And when they see, they can actually give you a call, and we match. Or someone who is perhaps an English teacher who has been teaching and don't mind giving a free tuition for those who are going SPM or things like that. Put it up there. It's something that you can offer, a help that you can offer. Put it there. And someone, perhaps someone just walking by and sorry, hey, someone is volunteering. I can help. Or if you feel that you're very good at Saruman, what food is nice? Apart from the police, apart from Zubao, okay? I want to warm you. You know, every time I bring people from KL, they come and then I bring them go eat Zubao. Then they ask me, "Why you eat? Wow, Zubao here so nice, huh? You eat every day, right?" I say, "Actually, no, no. Only when you come, I bring you Zubao." We don't. Saruman, we are more than just Zubao, right? Now, if you're good at cooking something or making something, and you're willing to teach it or share it, put it up there. Something that to you is extra, to another person is something very needed. Amen? So community board, do take note. We are trying to want to pull our resources together and how to help meet one another's need. Is that good? All right. And do take note that the office has the right to remove anything deemed inappropriate. For example, if you write something and put it up there, then we notice it's a business advertisement or a profit-making service, then perhaps we'll take it down. Okay, we let you know, but we take it down. You have to understand, it's a community board, not an advertisement board. Amen? Okay, I know you guys understand that, yeah? Now, with all these things said, there are various community projects by different groups, all right? And you can join them. The youths are actually opening a stall to help raise funds under the Love Seremban campaign. It's on the 28th of September. The young adults is doing a gotong royong to clean up the Balai Raya of one of the Orang Asli village in Bantin. The whole village, they only got one Balai Raya, and they use it for any other purpose. They use it for their wedding, their kanduri, their whatever activity meetings they only want, and it's a bit run down. So the young adults is going there to clean up the surrounding, and we have hired people to repair the Balai Raya and to paint it. Okay, that is on the 7th September. And the seniors, this is good. The seniors want to take part. So the seniors will be making food and actually packing food for the DIC people, okay, the drop-in center. Now, I shared this in the first service, I also want to share it here. Seniors, you know who you are. Seniors, you come to seniors fellowship not because you are old. No, it was never the reason why we started seniors fellowship. It's called seniors fellowship, it's not seniors nursing home. Okay, seniors nursing home is to take care of those who are a little bit sick and they can't take care of themselves. That's called nursing home. This seniors fellowship. Why, when I invite you to come to senior fellowship, sometimes I say, hey, oh, who and who, no, I see you very active, very good. Would you like to join our seniors fellowship? The person will say something like this. I don't join senior fellowship. Why? I'm not old. Who say you join is because you're old. I'm asking you to join because at that age, you're full of energy that you can serve other seniors. I see you as a diaconia senior. You get that? A ministry, someone who is serving, a serving senior to serve the needs of others, to serve the needs of other seniors. Let's give all the seniors a hand. A serving seniors. If you are in your 60s, you are not old. You are not old. Since I said it in first service, say it again in second service. I regret a little, huh? Pastor Ben is in his 60s. Is Pastor Ben old? No. Look at him. He looks good. Our senior pastor looks good. So those of you, if you're in your 60s, you think, I am old. No, look at your friend. Our senior pastor is still in the 60s, leading the church forward. The last few years, you have seen how Pastor Ben just keep leading the church forward, leading the church forward. Or the assistant pastor, we scared one now. You know why? When Pastor Ben come on stage, whatever he say, we have to do. So I remember there was one of when Pastor Ben talk, and he says, you know what? This is Pastor Ben's heartbeat. It will be good if the church can have double service, everyone clap. Then all the assistant pastor, they, how are, so when to eat? We start to talk. Okay, let's have a meeting. Let's discuss, you know. We are here to work with one another. Amen. And I like what Pastor Ben always say. Correct me if I'm wrong. About the young and old one. The passion. Yes, thank you. I see Pastor smile, then I get it. Because I want to remember all these things. The wisdom of the old and the passion of the young. When you work together, you push the church forward. So seniors, we need your wisdom, we need your support. Join the seniors fellowship for other seniors' sake. Amen? All right, I hope I made that clear. Do join us for the seniors. Now, the next one is this. We are going to start something new, and we want to do this together. It's called the priority parking system. There will be a change in the way we park in our church. Okay, it will start in October. Agape is a growing, multi-generational family church. Okay, we are a family church, which means we have young families, people with toddlers, or the elderly, those who have difficulty to walk. Okay, and they're coming to our church, and our parking system, or the way we park, need to accommodate this growth. So what do? We are recommending that in October onwards, the S parking system, for those of you, you know, you have the card, S parking system will be replaced with a priority parking system, where the whole church compound is allocated for people with needs such as the following. There are 6 group of people we want to be considerate over. We are here to serve one another and serve their needs. So first-time visitors, why we give our parking space to first-time visitors? Because they are our guests, that's all. When you invite someone to your home, you serve them. They're their guests. We are playing host. So first-time visitors, when they come to Agape, they do not know where to go, where to park. To make it easy for them, we want to provide good hospitality and good service to them. In church, in Agape, relationship matters. So we want to connect with them. We allow the first-time visitors, when they come, they just park at our church compound. It's easier for them. First one. The second group are the pregnant drivers. Ladies, if you're pregnant and you can't walk down the hill, down the stairs, it's dangerous, this is where you can park. Okay? Remember, the keyword here is drivers, not passengers. Okay? Not passengers. No, like, I'm pregnant, but yeah, but your husband driving, you see? So your husband, unless your husband also pregnant, then we'll rethink this, okay? If your husband is driving you, your husband can drop you off, and then he go up the hill, park, and then he walk down. Amen? Okay? Why? Because we want to give those who really have a need to park at this place. Because in our church, especially second service, we have seen a lot of people coming to church. Sometimes the husband, they're working on the Sunday or they're outstation overseas, they're not around. And you see suddenly the pregnant lady, you know, 8-9 months pregnant already. Oh yeah, we baptized a pregnant lady, right? That was a few months ago. She insists that she wants to be baptized, you know, fully pregnant. I'm like, okay. Now, there are more and more people like that. They're coming to church, and just imagine if they're pregnant, you want them to walk down the hill, the stairs, is no. I think as a church, we can do better than this. So I'm referring to this group, that if they're driving, let them park. Okay? Drivers with young toddlers, I don't need to explain, right? Those people who have a mini car in your big car. Okay, you know what's a mini car? Yeah, the trolley thingy, the one you put the baby inside, then you throw it. Okay? Every time I see them when they park the car, then they come out, well, come out from the car, then they bring out the small car, then they bring the, put the baby inside. And then here they have, don't know, a lot of things just to feed the baby, you know. All the, like going for war, you know, or something. A lot of stuff, you know. Then the mother carry, then carry a child here, then carry, you know. Then you want them to walk down the hill? No. This is where you park. Drivers, okay, you understand this is a group. And then elderly drivers, not seniors. We are very careful with the word. Elderly, you know who you are. Okay, elderly. If you think that, am I elderly? Okay, the question is very simple. You got tongkat or not? Okay, look at the picture. We make sure you got a tongkat there. That means elderly drivers mean you can still drive your car, but it's difficult. You have walking difficulties. That's for you. So it's not by age, it's by need. Okay, it's very clear. Then the fifth one is drivers who have injury, you're healing, perhaps it's after operation, or perhaps you sprain your ankle, not your wrist, your wrist still can jalan, right? Don't cheat, you know all the tricks, okay? Unless you walk with your wrist, then okay, I'll let you. Okay? So you know, like if you have injured some part, and finally walking, you have walking difficulties, yes, you park. Or people who have heart issues, you have a heart pacer perhaps, okay, it's difficult for you to walk for such a distance, then yeah, that's where you park. Okay, I hope it's clear. And those are for drivers, not the passengers. Once again, if the passenger can drop them off. But for the OKU, they are passengers. Why? Because we actually have reserved at the site here, OKU parking only. If you're driving an OKU person, okay, you drive them, it's easy for you to park the car and then you put them on a wheelchair and then you push. It's easier rather than you park and then drop them off and then you, it's a lot of movement. So no, it's okay to park here for passengers. Now, there are many kinds of OKU, right? There are many kinds of OKU. If you are OKU because you have hearing difficulties, counted or not? No. Church, we understand, right? Let's not find loophole and see what is in for us. We are here for other people. Amen? We are here to diakonia. We are here to minister to one another based on needs and not on right. All right? And I want to emphasize, okay, let me go on. Now, for the first and second service, how does, we want to avoid double parking and to make sure to have a better traffic flow. Can I have the slides? Yes. Okay, this is our standard parking. The yellow box are all the priority parking. The volunteers for both service, maybe if you're volunteering and you're serving both, not one service, both service, we have prepared a place for you. You park there so that you won't double park, you won't obstruct people, or people won't obstruct you when you need to leave or move your car. So we allow everyone who is serving double service to park there. And for this, we really have to appreciate the worship team, the PA team, children church teachers, staff, and everyone who give up their space to serve others. Give them all a hand. Thank you so much. Because usually they park here, now they're going to park up there. Open up the space for others to park. We really appreciate that. Now, for the rest of us, the congregation, the first and second service people, the first service people, when you drive in, you drive, if you, for the priority parking, you drive right through. For the priority parking people, you drive right through and you park. You see the yellow boxes? You drive right in and park. Only if there's an overflow, you park in front of the main sanctuary and the marshal will guide you. They'll make sure you park in a way when the second service people come, they won't block you. All right? So if you're coming priority parking, first service, drive straight to park here. And if there's an overflow, the marshal will guide you to park in front of the sanctuary. For second service people, which is you guys, okay? When you come, if you're priority parking, you come, you park in front of main sanctuary first so that the first service people by then should be out and then overflow, we park the other side. If you feel this confusing, don't worry. Whatever the marshal say, follow. Easy or not? Okay, whatever the marshal say, okay, please park here, park. Just follow. Don't argue, just follow. If not sure something, ask, talk to them nicely. Cooperate with the marshal, all right? They're also here to help us to make sure that we can actually go for service smoothly and want to do this together. Now, for the rest of us, where do we park? The regular parking. There's a lot of space. Just feel free to park there. There will be traffic marshal to guide you. Okay? So do take note of that. Now, just one more thing before I move on to the last thing that we are going to do. This is not a reserve parking. This is a priority parking. Reserve parking is as though it's reserved for you and you can demand for the right. We don't demand our right. In church, We die to self. We give our right to serve one another. We want to be considerate for people's need. When I was in Japan, I was very impressed with their service. Very impressed. You go to their trainer, they have a sitting place. They call it priority seats. It's understood one. It's understood one. If you're not pregnant, if you're not elderly or what, don't sit. They will leave it empty. Even though it's packed, they leave it empty. Even if you see someone is sitting there, when you see someone, a pregnant lady come, they just stand and give a seat. Civilized people don't need briefing like this. Don't need briefing, don't need to tell. They just know. Church, we can do the same. Amen. Okay, tell your neighbor, let's do the same. All right. Now, with all these things happening, the changes do take time to get used to it. Okay, there's a lot of teething process. Go through it. Last but not least is this. I've saved the best for last. Okay? In September, we are starting Agape Community Center, Nilai. Let's give the Lord a big hand. We are starting a new church in Nilai. You saw that building? Yes, it's not ours. Chilak. Okay, that's actually the government property. Don't go and take. Okay, that's the one of the landmark in Nilai. Now, we are going to start a new church called Agape Community Center in Nilai, and you can participate. I always feel is this. All Christians, listen to this, all Christians have the privilege to attend a church service. Amen? All Christians have the privilege to attend a church service, but not many Christians have the opportunity to start a church. And this is our time. We hear great stories of pioneers, how they started Agape Community, Agape Church, Agape Seremban. You hear all the great things that God has done. And we are, look at where we are today. We are enjoying the fruits of the pioneers' labor. They labor and we enjoy the fruits. The good news is this. God is not done with Agape yet. Amen? This generation, I mean all of you, all of us here, we have the opportunity right now to carry the baton of our pioneers to continue to do God's work by pioneering Agape Nilai. It is our time. It's our time to serve God and go there to plant another church so that everything that we are enjoying now, the way we do life now, the Nilai, Agape Nilai people can experience God's love the same. Amen? Amen? We want to do this together. So we, the church, we are calling a dedicated Nilai mission team. A group of people that will see Nilai as a mission field, as a next promised land for us to go in and do ministry there. A team that will commit to serve a minimum of 1 year. Okay, if you commit, you can still come on Sunday here, but you're going to commit 1 year of serving over there in Agape Nilai. Okay, we will commission the team on the last Sunday of this month. We commission the team to kickstart some programs in October, just to create awareness that there's a church in Nilai, and we call Agape, so that people can get to know us. We're starting a church there. We have rented MTBC. MTBC is Malaysian Tamil Bible College, where they are fully equipped. They have a chapel with pews. You know, they have a sound system. They have a monitor. They have a cafeteria that we rent. We're going to rent the cafeteria for our fellowship. There's also a small classroom for us to have children church. God has provided the place. What best, if you're talking about shop lot and all that, we'll get it later. We were praying for a place for 1 whole year. 1 year we have been praying, God, give us a place to start Agape Nilai. And God says, use Malaysian Tamil Bible College. Or what better place to start the church than in a Bible college? Amen. Everything is equipped. All we need to do, go in and do the work. Okay? Now, the church is open to recruit people. We want to actually form a pioneering Nilai mission team. If you know that God has been nudging you, okay, all of you, if you know that God has been nudging you to serve, or if you're keen to find out more, I want to find out more information about this Agape Nilai and look at my time and see how I can serve in any capacity or whether I can just attend to show support. Or if you know people who are staying in Nilai, families who are staying in Nilai, and you think that, you know what, I'm going to learn more about Agape Nilai and find out all the plans, and then I'm going to connect my friends, my relatives, my neighbors, my colleagues who are in Nilai, I connect them to Agape Nilai. Amen? In any capacity, if you feel that God is nudging you to find out more about Nilai and you want to join this Nilai mission team, this is your diaconia moment. This is your serving moment. So you got 1 week to pray. Okay, I'm giving you a heads up, but you got 1 week to pray, confirm, and stay back after service next Sunday. Okay, next Sunday, stay back after service. We're going to give you a full briefing. We're going to show you pictures. We're going to explain to you what are we going to do for Agape Nilai. What are we going to do in terms of October? What are the programs we're going to start? And we're officially going to launch Agape Nilai in January 2020. We're going to launch it and say we're going to do this and there's no turning back. Amen? Amen? So I encourage you next Sunday, stay back. Can I have the worship team up? I've said many things this morning. And there are a lot of programs that the church is doing. And as a church, this is what we can do. Take time to pray and ask God, God, how can I contribute to what you're doing in our church and through our church? We are not just here to sit to enjoy. We are here to diaconia. We are here to do ministry. We are here to serve. So that through our serving, through our community, among the many projects that God will start in our church, be part of all these works, so that through you, God will show His power to the community, so that many people will come to know God. Amen. Let us stand. We want to sing this last song as a response to God, to say that I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. As we sing this song, I want you to resonate in your heart. Say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to diaconia. I'm going to move forward, whether it's in the ministry of the word or the ministry of the work. I'm going to partner together with God in Agape, especially the whole month of September, to say, God, place me in this ministry that I can serve, that people will come to know you when they see your power in our church. Hallelujah.